We are spending a lot of time here in Luke 1. So this is the third week we've heard portions of this scripture. And it's 30, as I said the other day in an email, it's 30 verses long. So I didn't put it on PowerPoint. I've been reading through Ezra in my morning devotions. And when they read the scripture, I've said this before, the people stood. They stood for all of daylight and heard the scripture read. It was the first time they'd heard it. And when they heard it, the impact of it was, they wept. They wept at how they felt that what they were hearing, they're coming up short. It was such a powerful thing. They hadn't heard scripture. For anyone who's able then, let's be like the people there when Ezra, let's stand for the reading of the scripture, if you're able. It's 30 verses. Just keep that in mind. Luke, verse 26 of chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who has been called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be so to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in the Lord my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that it never returns void. Thank you, Lord, for this recording of these historical and holy events. And Lord, speak through your servant now. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Thanks. You may be seated. A young lady who was engaged but had never been kissed, let alone experienced sexual intercourse, was pregnant. The world would look at that and say, yeah, right. And the world did. Mary's story, in quotes, may have been referenced in the taunts of religious leaders who told Jesus, we were not born of immorality. Over 30 years later, they taunted Jesus with these words. It was hard to believe, okay? This thing that had happened to Mary, this was hard to believe what the angel told Mary when he said, for nothing will be impossible with God. That's what makes it all believable and possible. That's the truth. F.B. Meyer writes, the narrative here in this scripture is artlessly simple and natural and is its own complete vindication. No human genius could have invented it. In fact, you can't make this up. And then he continues, compare it, for instance, with all the ornate and fantastic pictures of the Annunciation by the great masters that children and wise men alike appreciate. This story bespeaks its humanness and its divineness. Commentator Donald G. Miller adds this. He writes, the means by which the birth of Jesus is to be accomplished is described with exquisite insight. There's no hint whatsoever of a physical act. There's no procreation, as in pagan myth, resulting from the union between a god, small g, and a woman. Jesus's birth is the creative act of the Holy Spirit, pictured as the overshadowing of the power of the Most High. The word overshadow is the same word used of the cloud out of which the voice spoke at the transfiguration when Jesus went to the mountaintop and took Peter, James, and John, and this cloud enfolded the mountaintop. It overshadowed it. And continuing here with Miller's words, in both places, it refers to the cloud in which God's glory is manifested. The cloud of God's glory made his presence visible to men, yet at the same time hid him from the eyes of men and preserved the mystery of his being. It both revealed God and it concealed him. So the birth of Jesus is the mysterious event whereby God revealed himself in a creative act whose nature is totally hidden from us. And then he says this, it calls for worship, not explanations. It calls for worship, not explanations. And I end the quote there. The virgin birth causes problems for some skeptical people, but it's a non-starter if you really take the Bible to be the word of God. And if you believe God can do whatever he wants to bring about whatever he wants in the creation he brought into being, then it's a non-starter. He's God. That's what God does. And that's why it calls for worship and not for explanations. That's why, and also, I just think expeditions off into the virgin birth is a distraction. It says it here. It says it once, but it says it here in God's word. That's why Mary, after the amazement and wonder and incredulity at what God had planned for her, and then through her, ultimately for humanity, that's how she could sing out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." In our jaded and self-imposed desperation, humanity has grown increasingly weary and depressed. So much so that some endeavor to conjure the joy they once experienced as children, or thought they did. Whether it's real or imagined, they do this by putting up Christmas decorations in October and playing Christmas music ad nauseum. And that's fine. That's fine if you do that. Put them up in July. We need Christmas music when it's 100% humidity and 102 in the real feel. But if you know, to put it into a bumper sticker cliche, the reason for the season, it makes it a lot easier and you don't have to conjure anything. But it doesn't work without Jesus. You can't have the joy that we experience at Christmas without Jesus. A weary world needs Jesus. That's Ron started my sermon by saying people are seeking, and a weary world needs Jesus. Jesus's coming is how a weary world rejoices. And Mary experienced this. She knew cold fear right away. The angel comes in and says, "Greetings, favored one." And she didn't say, "Oh, well, that's a new pickup line." She was afraid. She was fearful. And then, once that subsided, she was really puzzled. And then there was outright belief. She believed. She took God at his word and submitted. And she said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then she rejoiced. Let's look at Mary's annunciation, and then at her affirmation by her cousin Elizabeth, and then look at the song that burst forth and see how we can experience similar joy. First, Mary was highly favored. She was highly favored. What made her special? Did she have characteristics that others didn't have? Well, she was a virgin. And Isaiah says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So that rules out all sexually active females and every single male for the job. It required a virgin. And that made her special, in a way. But that's not what the angel meant. Actually, through this wonderful young woman, and she was, who really was a good person, God was showing his favor to all of humanity. His favor on this woman was bestowing favor on all of us. The long-expected Messiah was finally arriving, and God's favor, as a result, was arriving. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, was happening. The favor of God was coming to humanity, and Mary was the one who, by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, would give birth to the one who was given for the salvation of the world. So, we too are highly favored. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about how you are highly favored? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's not just a memory verse that you got a pat on the back in Sunday school when you were a kid. This is the truth from the very one who came to do that perishing in our place. Those words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, came from the words of Jesus. It's the truth that all who call on that name, Jesus, will not perish but will have eternal life. That's the favor of God. So Mary heard, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you," and it was true, but it's true for us too. God's favor is upon all of us. We don't deserve it because no one does, but that didn't stop God from pouring his favor upon humanity onto us. And he did it through the obedience of a young Jewish girl who said yes to his plan. And many of us have said yes to God's plan too. And if you haven't, if you've not said yes to that plan, like verbally, like I think I did, or whatever, if you've not done that, do that. Say yes to God's plan for your life. And then you'll know in a stronger way how a weary world can rejoice. Next, the Lord was with Mary. That's what the angel said. Listen again. "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And it goes on to say that it's so understated. She immediately became troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this was. We were talking about this in Sunday school, what it's like to have angels come in. You know, it's 4 a.m. and you turn on the light in the darkness and you're like this. The shepherds in the field, we talked about that. What it's like to have in be in total darkness in a place where there's no streetlights or whatever, and it comes blasting in. It was not nothing. Mary was troubled and wondered what this greeting was. And once again, it was a promise that because God was with her, his plan to be with all of humanity would fully unfold in its completeness through her. It's the very meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. That name that we already heard just a couple minutes ago here in my talk, Emmanuel. And we hear countless times through the Christmas season. And it's important that we never let that word, that name, Emmanuel, grow cold and empty, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. O come, O wisdom from on high, who ordered all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show and teach us in its ways to go. O come, great Lord of might, who to your tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. O come, O branch of Jesse's stem, into your own and rescue them. From depths of hell your people save and give them victory over the grave. O come, O key of David, come and open wide your heavenly home. Make safe for us the heavenward road and bar the way to death's abode. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night and turn our darkness into light. O come, O King of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid all our sad divisions cease. Bid all our sad divisions cease, and be yourself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Not just a little name. There's just so much packed in God with us. God has been with us. God is with us. God will be with us as his plan unfolds, and as it did through Mary, it will unfold through us too. That way, we too can be God's instruments to make sure that a weary world rejoices. We too can say, I'm your servant. Make it unto me as you say. And then finally, we see in her song that she breaks into, we see that Mary was blessed. It's like an understatement. We saw last week that her elderly cousin Elizabeth, who was full of the Holy Spirit, blurts, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And she was blessed. Mary was blessed. But maybe it was simmering in Mary's soul prior to this, but a real confirmation of the truth happened with Elizabeth, and as she pondered all this, and she too realized, my baby is my Savior. That's a show-stopping thought. She realized more than ever that she was indeed blessed. And Elizabeth knew it too. And we need to realize it too. Because of Mary's baby, we are blessed too. Mary's baby is our Savior. The realization erupted into Mary's sweet and powerful and short song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. But just look at that song, because it's our song too. Marshall writes, Mary's hymn praised God for his personal blessing to her, a merciful act which was thoroughly in line with the way in which he cared for the humble and brought down their haughty oppressors. And then he goes on to say, the expression of the low estate is Mary's feeling of unworthiness for her great honor. And God shows that he is holy by saving his people and acting mightily on our behalf, despite what we think about ourselves. Despite our low estate, he brings us up. And Mary is saying, in her words, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. So, the Lord is with us too. We are at that generation now. God didn't do this just once in Mary, but he has continued it from generation to generation. And that's why Christmas is so glorious. It's an outpouring of the truth that he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. We are that offspring. Mary's baby was her savior, and he's our savior too. Mary's blessing is our blessing too. And that's another reason why a weary world rejoices. As I selected this, as I looked at these sermons for this, and as I've looked at all the talks for this, you know, 42 years I've been preaching Christmas messages. And I have looked at that passage so many times. And I've looked at these passages so many times. And what I've said as I've looked at them this year, where is the joy in this? Where is the joy coming from this? Why does O Holy Night say a weary world? It is O Holy Night, right? Anyway, a carol says a weary world rejoices. What in this world, what in this life, what in there? Our experience with struggles, with war in Ukraine and political upheaval and uprisings in Germany and persecution in India and Northern Africa and Nigeria and loss. How can we say a weary world rejoices? And it's all through it. A weary world rejoices. We are blessed. We are favored. And the message is for us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this good word for us, for this reminder that in the midst of grief, we can have joy.